Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Now back to Damon and Ratto on 95.7 The Game.
Into hour number three here on a Friday. John Dickinson and Larry Krueger, as we are with you until 6 o'clock, in for Damon and Ratto. 888-957-9570 as the Warriors host the Blazers tonight, which means Warriors Live tips off at 6 p.m. here on 95.7 The Game, presented by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet only from Xfinity, as the Warriors looking to make it four in a row here on this homestand. I've been talking a lot throughout the afternoon here about just reflecting on 2022 and what a wild year it's been for the Bay Area, from the Niners and their run to the NFC Championship game, all the quarterback back and forth, and the position that they currently sit right now with two games to go as they head into 2023, 11-4, 8 in a row. Brock Purdy is the starting quarterback, and it feels like they believe they've got a shot to win the Super Bowl. The Warriors running it back and winning an NBA title in June, and that playoff run, just unbelievable stuff there from the Golden State Warriors. And then the Giants coming off 107 wins and just an ugly season. And then the offseason, they try to get Aaron Judge, can't, try to get Correa, that blows up in their face, and now they head into 2023 looking like maybe they're not even better than they were in 2022, with Gabe Kapler and Farhan Zaidi trying to explain it away. So, yeah. But
what a weird
year for them.
Weird year for them when you think about it, because they won 107 games. They set the franchise record coming into this year, and yet attendance was down. How much of that was the pandemic? I don't know. But, you know, you win 107, you think you're going to have some momentum going into the next year ticket-wise. They clearly didn't. And then this year's Giant team was just boring. I mean, I've seen worse Giants team. They finish 500. We've seen many worse Giants teams. But this year's Giants team was like total snooze. I mean, just a real snooze fest. And so they knew it. And they were kind of adamant about kind of changing things around. And they went after Aaron Judge. And I don't know if he toyed with them and used them, or if he legitimately, only Aaron Judge and his wife really know if he was very serious about coming here. But he went back to New York. I don't think you can be critical of the Giants for that, because when you're the toast of Manhattan, you're not leaving. You know what I mean? So I don't blame the Giants for losing out on Aaron Judge. But they did create kind of an expectation of not necessarily Judge, but some big name something. And here we are, almost January 1st, and that big name player has not come across. And
he really can't now
unless there's some kind of a trade. So they're in kind of a weird spot for sure. And as far as, you know, the rest of this year has gone, I mean, one guy I wanted to ask you about as far as you know, watching the Warriors the last couple of weeks. Because to me, this Warrior season this year has been kind of odd. They started initially, and I thought, okay, what's it going to look like? They didn't look good out of the shoot. Then they kind of regrouped. They looked a little better in the second phase of the season. Now they're looking even a little bit better. I really believe the one advantage Golden State has is that, like, a lot of NBA teams grow apart over the length of the season. I think Kerr is a master at keeping everybody going, and I think that's because he was a bench player, and so he knows how to bring the bench along. You know what I mean? So you get the feeling that the Warriors stay together as a team. I was telling my Kings fans, friends up in Sac, basically that Mike Brown's going to do that for Sac this year. He's going to keep that team together. You know, they're going to stay together. But the guy I got to ask you about, JD, is Patrick Baldwin, because I thought Baldwin really looked, not just, you know, obviously he's got a nice shot. I mean, it's textbook coming out of his hands. He was a team best plus 13 in 13 minutes. He had 11 points, 4-7 shooting, 4 rebounds. He looks like kind of an old soul. He's a beneath the rim kind of a player, but he looks more like a veteran player. What do you think? I mean, Golden State's looking at all their bench and saying, okay, can we, you know, they know they're starting five plus Poole plus DiVincenzo. That's going to be 7 guys in their 9-man rotation come playoff time. The whole rest of the season is about getting that 6th seed or better and finding 2 more guys. Is there any chance in your mind that as we sit here at the end of December, that Patrick Baldwin could be a rotation player in the playoffs?
I would say probably not, just because the Warriors are so focused on their pecking order as far as just, you know, making sure that either a veteran or some of these other younger players that are farther along in terms of experience get their opportunities before Patrick Baldwin Jr. and Ryan Rollins, the most recent of the two picks. But so I think it would almost take an injury or something to where Baldwin gets more opportunities and then makes the most of them like he did in the game the other night. But I like his game. I mean, I like how
the shot is beautiful.
Smooth he is shooting it and confident in shooting it.
Son of a coach. He seems to have a really high basketball IQ.
He seems like a warrior. He seems like a great fit.
Were you was that the show that you and I did together when Rollins and Baldwin came in studio?
Yeah, I was going. Actually, I think I was going to be, and then the last second I ended up on a different show that day. But I think we were going to do that show.
So they were in here for an hour. And just like both those guys are really impressive. I would love to buy stock in both those guys' NBA future.
Absolutely.
Because I think Rollins, every time I watch him, I like him. And Baldwin is just, just talk to him about the game. He's more advanced than most guys his age.
What I wonder is, because of the restrictions for the two-way players, and the two-way players, Anthony Lamb and Ty Jerome, they can only play in 50 regular season games. They're both, I think, approaching 30.
Yeah.
I think Lamb's maybe 29 and Jerome's 23, I think. I might be off by one there. But they can only play in 50. I wonder if at some point, because they can only, at this point, convert one of them into a roster spot, because they only have one roster spot open. I wonder if Baldwin could do some of the things Anthony Lamb does. And if he could, because they're both shooters. Anthony Lamb's been kind of up and down. I've said this to you. I think there are nights where he kind of looks like a G leaguer.
He had an air ball in the fourth quarter the other night.
Yeah, like he's a little overwhelmed by the NBA, the speed of the game and things like that. There's nights where it's like, oh, he can clearly shoot it. You know, knock down 3 or 4 three-pointers and he can help you get a win. But I wonder if Baldwin can, you know, he's an interesting player. I think if he can just be steady defensively, not kill you defensively. You like his length, you like his basketball IQ, you like his shooting ability, and he becomes somebody that I think is extremely valuable with other combinations. You know, it's always about combinations of players, right? If you're going to have Kuminga on the floor, could you play Kuminga and Baldwin together? Like, Baldwin, to me, could play some stretch four, but he could also, I think, play some three with more of a bulldozer type four, you know, in Kuminga, if you're going to have them out there, you know, at the same time. So I wonder if he could become...
Could he be Bielitsa this year?
Yeah, he could become... Bielitsa was almost strictly a five, so probably not. But I just wonder if he could maybe take some of those Anthony Lamb minutes to a point where maybe you don't need Lamb to be somebody that takes up a playoff roster spot.
Yeah.
Between now and
I'm not seeing Lamb. I'm not seeing it. I'm not getting what they're getting. I don't see what they see in Anthony Lamb. I know he's hit some shots, but the one thing I love about Baldwin is that he's a perimeter shooter who shoots it from high up,
mm-hmm.
and he's got beautiful form. And you're talking about a 6'10 player. So, like, when you have a 6'10 guy who shoots it really high up,
it's hard to get to.
That creates more space on the basketball floor because you got to really close out on a 6'10 guy who shoots it that high to bother his shot. And he, to me, it's like if you're really about pace and space, and you know that they are. Doesn't he create that space?
He does. He's an interesting player, and he has looked comfortable offensively on an NBA floor when he's gotten opportunities. So does he get more? We'll see. I know he spoke to the fact that he thought the second half of the Brooklyn game, it's always funny to see what ends up clicking for somebody, but the second half of that Brooklyn game, which most people probably turned off, they're down 40 at the half, and you know, that was the game where Wiseman went for 30, but
right.
he knocked down 5 3-pointers in that third quarter where they made a 40-point game, an 18-point game, and they were never going to win, but it was basically all of the young guys playing together and on a pretty big stage in terms of one of the hottest teams in the league in Brooklyn. Baldwin went out there and didn't have to. There wasn't a lot of stress, but he would look real comfortable and said that gave him confidence to know that if he had to go back in a game in different circumstances, he could get the job done, and he did. He helped them win the other night.
Yeah, I'd like to see him get more run. I just right now it's a little bit of a projection because he's barely played.
Sure,
but if somehow you got all of January, all of March, all of February, all of you got several months here between the playoffs. I would love to see what it would look like if he was out there. Outside of Klay Thompson, he might have obviously Steph is Steph, but Klay's got this beautiful, unbelievable, almost unmatched form. It's just so buttery.
Yeah.
You watch Baldwin, it's similar. He's got a really nice shot.
He does. Yeah, no question about it. 888-957-9570. Other big topic of discussion is we had Steve Kerr on yesterday here on 95.7 The Game. We're going to rerun that full interview during Warriors Live at 6 o'clock, but a few clips from that. And the big question Alan asked Coach Kerr, if he thinks that the Warriors are turning a corner this season. That was the question du jour the last few days. Here's what Steve said.
Until we win on the road, it's tough to say we've turned a corner. But I will say that last night's game and the night before against Charlotte, it just felt different. It felt like we had to really gut those games out. And we were making winning plays. One of the things that happened last night, we had a couple of fouls that we used kind of late fourth quarter. We weren't automatically giving them, but we were forced into them because of what was happening on the floor, but we weren't in the bonus yet, and so it was just side out of bounds. And you guys know this, for most of the season those fouls are free throws because we're fouling so much early in the period. Now teams are getting free throws every time there's a foul, so just that alone for me makes a huge difference. Defending without fouling leads to better control of the game, and then it allows you to be a little more aggressive defensively, late in the games, and that's something that happened last night. So there's definitely been a lot of growth.
And all of the stoppages, too, with a lot of the fouls and the free throw shooting prevents the Warriors from getting in a rhythm with the way they want to play offensively and the tempo. It's always funny the things that stand out to a coach, but he's rolling as far as the meat of that answer at the beginning with haven't turned it till they start showing something on the road.
They got the best home record in the league. They got the worst road record in the league. I hear what he's saying. 15-2 at home, 3-16 on the road. I was looking at some of the numbers as far as the breakdown and why.
It's defense.
One thing is that they do score 119 at home on average. They score 113 on the road. So they're not quite scoring on the road is the same. I just think it has to do with they got a young team. And a young, you got to be able to block out the crowd. And maybe that's difficult for young players. They also probably, JD, I mean, if you went through the schedule with a fine-tooth comb, they probably should have four or five more wins, right? I mean, they had a shot in Orlando. They had a shot against Charlotte. They had a nine-point lead against Sacramento. I mean, right? They had a shot against Utah. They lost all those games.
Yeah. So Orlando went to overtime and lost.
Yeah, so I mean, there's four or five more wins right there that could make this season look dramatically different. But I got to think that it has a lot to do with the fact that you got five guys on this team that are 22 or younger. So you got some real. I mean, they've really committed to the youth movement this year, and they're paying for it on the road. I mean, at least that would be my observation, man. You're watching these games closer than I am. What do you see on the road?
I mean, it really has been, there's been almost, in a way, four separate seasons at this point. They've been bad on the road in all of them. But I look at the 3-7 start, and then they were 10-4. Then they had the 2-7 stretch with the injuries and that this road trip, and now they're 3-0 during this home stretch. So it's almost four different segments. But I think, and I've said this a lot, they wanted to coast a little bit coming out. I think the veterans wanted to coast a little bit coming out of, with the championship hangover and all of that. And I think that's where they let a lot of young teams on that trip where you mentioned three or four games they could have won. They let a lot of young teams just get comfortable because it was basically open gym. And, hey, you score, we'll score. It's going to be 120-120 with about 3 minutes left, and then we're going to put the clamps down. And then they were searching for something that wasn't there, or they couldn't get, or they'd miss a shot, or they'd have a weird turnover, or somebody would foul, and they'd be in the bonus like Steve Kerr was talking about. And they just didn't execute in those final 3 minutes like we're so used to seeing them execute in playoff games where everything's on the line and you're trying to win a championship, and then they didn't. And so I think that was part of it. And I always tend to look at the best players first. And now it's not on any one of them, although Klay Thompson and Jordan Poole were not great at the beginning of the year. I think Steph and Draymond for the most part have been pretty, Steph was great, Draymond okay, Wiggins was pretty good, but they kind of coasted. And then there were other games where the Warriors would get off to great starts, and then to your point, they would try to go to the young bench, and the young bench would just immediately give it all back, and then the veterans are trying to work harder than I think they want to get the lead back up or to finish some of these games. And again, it comes back to them being unable to. And I think they put their foot down at 3-7. Steve Kerr went away from the young players, basically took Moody completely out of the rotation. They shipped off Wiseman to Santa Cruz. Kuminga was pulled for a few games where he wasn't playing at all, or very, 4 or 5 minutes, one little shift. And at that point, they started playing better. DiVincenzo came back. They started playing better. Got to 13-11, and then they couldn't quite finish that homestand. They lost the weird game to Indiana. They blew the game at Utah. Came back, won the game against Boston, and then the road trip with all the injuries, and that kind of set them up to this position of where I've called it a little fragile desperation type mode for this week and next week while they're at home. So I think there's a lot of little nuanced, segments of the season to this point. But I think for the most part, the most overarching probably generality of the home versus road for me is just they haven't been as locked in defensively as they need to be to finish those games when they're close down the stretch.
What's your thought on the way Poole has played with Steph out? Because I was looking at some of the numbers. He's scoring.
Yeah.
I mean, he's scoring almost 28 a game since Steph went out in the last 10 games. But also close to 5 turnovers per game. That's a lot of turnovers.
It's a lot of turnovers, but if you're going to be the primary ball handler, I mean, there are a lot of nights where Steph will have, and not every night, but there are some nights where it'll be 4 or 5 turnovers for him, 4 or 5 turnovers for Draymond, and you just kind of have to live with it a little bit. They need him almost as a baseline, talking about Poole, to score 25-30 every one of these games without Steph, almost regardless of how he... Now, you don't want him to be 10-30 to do it, but...
He's taking, in the last 10 games, he's taking 2.73, or he's taking 9.8 threes, and he's making 2.7.
Yeah.
So he's taking almost 10 a game. He's not even making 30%.
No, and that's not going to cut it. He's getting to the line more. But again, I think the overall number, it just in terms of points, you want it to be efficient, but even the bad games, you still got to have 25 to 30. And I think he's done that, which has allowed others to have a shot to, I think, impact the game. I keep coming back to the grind and the way that they've played, the force that they've played this three-game stretch with. I think Memphis gets them all riled up because of the rivalry there.
And Memphis has talked huge.
That's just a game you want bad. And I think there was a little bit of carryover from the Charlotte game. They got off to a good start against Charlotte, which I think helped them to where, that game gets tight with 5 minutes to go. And that's where Kuminga rises to the occasion and really just doggedly willed them to the win with four or five big plays on both ends. And I think Draymond the other night against Utah, I mean, with the block on Vanderbilt at the rim, I mean, yeah.
He had a couple huge blocks down the stretch.
Just a monster performance from Draymond. He's just a leader on that end and the engine and all of those things. So I like what I've seen. I got to keep seeing it. Like, I'm not one of these. And I heard Steiny and Evan talking about it earlier. Like, hey, I think they're going 6-2, 7-1. Maybe. It's definitely on the table, but they got to keep it up. They got to. Tonight, I think, is the biggest challenge. Maybe other than the Memphis game, this is maybe the toughest game on the whole homestand,
It is funny, JD, because you know there's two different kinds of approaches that you hear with Warrior fans. You get the Warrior fan that's, I think, really into the micro of every game and has got a number of real concerns, right?
Sure.
And you hear it all day on the radio station. Then you see them the way they played against Boston and the way they played on Christmas against Memphis and the knowledge that they know where the gold is, right? They've got the map. Where everybody else is kind of like, I don't know. We just keep playing better, and maybe things will go our way in April and May. Nobody else in the West really has the game, the map where the gold is. The Golden State Warriors do. So I don't know. I'm just in that mode right now where after watching them on Christmas and watching them beat Boston, I'm not worried. I'm not worried. I think the whole rest of the year is about, just win enough games to try to be a top six seed, as you were saying the other day. If you can get to, be a top six seed, that's great. And then what else do you have to determine? Maybe Bob Myers makes a trade at the back end of the roster for one rotation piece. Most likely not. I don't think it's a necessity at all, but possibly that could change their equation. Other than that, You've got your starters, you got Poole, you got DiVincenzo, you're gonna have a 9-deep rotation, you got your 7-deep right there. So you got a bunch of options. Is Iguodala in your rotation? Is Baldwin in the rotation? Is Wiseman in the rotation? What's Kuminga's role? What's Moody's role? Does Moody have a role? Is Jermichael Green in part of this rotation? So he's got, not to mention, he seems like Steve really likes Ty Jerome. He likes him more than I like him. He puts him out there as a secondary ball handler. He obviously has some faith in Ty Jerome, but that to me is what the rest of the regular season is about. Win enough games. Don't be an 8 seed. Don't be a 9 seed. Try to get there in the middle somewhere, 5, 6. The top seeds are probably out of range. And find two players. Find two players that you feel comfortable in your rotation. Get it solidified by the middle of April, and you're ready to roll.
Rich in Fremont at 888-957-9570. What's up, Rich?
Hey, what's up, guys? First of all, stellar job this week, man. You guys have been holding it down, so great job. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to say, really, when it comes down to it with the Golden State Warriors, is they still have, in my opinion, the ability to maneuver their season. We had Steve Kerr say at the beginning of the season, they asked about the roster then, and he told me, he said, well, look, we're going to experiment. And, the last time Steve Kerr said that, they won a championship. So I don't have less faith in the brain trust, more so than, two things, obviously health being an issue, and then also the guys being consistent on following the direction that Kerr's given them, okay? Because as long as they continue to do those things, you're going to get the wins like they've had the last three games. But when guys start slacking off and not rotating like they're supposed to and not, covering the perimeter, because they definitely do that tonight. He's covering the perimeter because Dame Dollar's coming in, okay? And we know he can shoot it. So they have to do those things in order to get the key wins they need to be able to change their season. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks for the call.
Yeah, appreciate the call. I'm eager to see what the tonight's game looks like because you got Lillard. If you look at the Blazers, Blazers are like two different teams. When Dame's out there, they're 13-9. When he's not, they're 5-7. And, you know, now he's got a little bit of a... I like what they've done in Portland. I mean, I don't think they're a title contender, but Anthony Simons is playing the best ball of his career. Jeremy Grant was a really nice addition. I think he looks so much better with the Blazers than I remember him looking with the Pistons. He's just taking it to a different level. But the Blazers roll into this one dinged up as well. Is Nurkic not going to go, or is he going to go? He's got a calf injury, but I saw that they said probable this morning.
And now he's questionable.
Now he's questionable
on the latest
He's playing
report.
Well.
Yeah, he's playing well, and he can be a handful. I know the Warriors, when they've had their full complement over the years, have been able to run him off the floor a little bit, get him in some pick-and-roll situations, and make it difficult for him to be a defender against them. But he's also hurt them on the interior and on the boards. And, you know, he's a nice player. So, yeah, we'll see if he goes or not. But, yeah, this is a game where you're playing shorthanded. I wouldn't look at it's winnable for sure. It's also losable if you don't play well, and Portland does play well. I mean, anytime you go into it, I mean, Dame Lillard has the potential to be. I mean, he's the best player on the floor coming into the game, and
it's a homecoming, yeah, and he always plays well here. And
yeah,
you know, I mean, he's such a good player. He really is. I mean, I get the feeling if Lillard played in the Mecca there at the Garden, New York City, man, he would be on the side of buildings. He would be. His name would come up as one of the greats in the league. I feel like playing out in Portland, he doesn't quite get the love that he should get.
No, and I mean, he's had opportunities to leave if he wanted to, I think, but he's been loyal to them, and they've paid him handsomely for it. But it sounds like he'd rather try to push forward and keep trying to grow in Portland and win one there, as opposed to trying to bounce around and chase it. So
great player. I mean, you know, I think he has tremendous guts. I remember seeing him at Weber State thinking, wow, this guy's got athleticism. He's got an outside shot. I think he made like 85% from the foul line in that conference in college. I'm like, wow, this guy is being overlooked by NBA teams, and he has just been spectacular.
All right, he's Larry Kruger. I'm John Dickinson. Festus Ezeli is going to join us next. We'll continue the Dubs conversation. More phone calls coming up as well, as we are presented by CalHope.org.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Now back to Damon and Ratto on 95.7 The Game.
All right, moving along here on a Friday, John Dickinson and Larry Kruger in for Damon and Ratto. We've got Warriors Live at 6. Let's get to, back to the guest line here. And joining us is Warriors analyst at NBC Sports Bay Area, Festus Ezeli, joining us here on 95.7 The Game, former Warriors big man. Festus, how you doing? Great to have you with us here on a Friday.
JD, happy Friday. What's going on, Larry?
Hey, how you doing, Festus?
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, man, we're just get your thoughts just kind of generally on the three games so far on the homestand and the Warriors' ability to start slowly seeing more production from some of the young players and the lottery picks and the two-way guys, right, really when they need it most.
You have to think this Warriors team coming into the season, there was a lot of talk about the depth of this team. And so we always knew that the bench was talented, but the chemistry was not there yet. Young guys had more of a bigger role this season. They hadn't figured it out, playing without fouling, you know, being able to score, the chemistry on the offensive end, defensively, all these different things. And I think that having time on the court, you know, with missing Steph and Andrew Wiggins, I think it's given the young guys a lot of chance for them to really gain confidence. It's really hard to play the game, especially as a young guy looking over your shoulders, worrying about making a mistake. So, you know, James Wiseman went down to the G League. He came back a better player. He looks way better on the defensive end. He always could play on the offensive end, has great touch. But you see guys like Anthony Lamb, who has been playing a big role for the Warriors. He's just stepping up. Dante DiVincenzo, he's healthy now, so he's also getting in rhythm, getting Jordan Poole. Jordan Poole is a stud. We know that already. But what you're starting to see is the evolution of the young guys. And, you know, playmaking ability of Jonathan Kuminga is something that is really sticking out to me. He's looking out for James Wiseman. He's looking out for his other players. And then he's also playing defense and taking pride in that. So when you start putting these pieces together and you think about Andrew Wiggins coming back and thinking about Steph coming back, I think this is a thing that could end up being very good for the Warriors this period right now, that you could have. I think when you found out that Steph was going to be out, you looked at this period as, oh, well, the Warriors just need to stay afloat. Well, the Warriors' motto is we just got to keep getting better. The motto and the slogan has always been strength in numbers. And so when one guy goes down, everybody else steps up. And it's also important that Steph has been in Jordan Poole's ear. You hear him talk about how Steph is telling him what to look for in a game, how to get better. Andre Iguodala has been in Kuminga's ear. Draymond has also been in Wiseman's ear. So you have these young guys also being tutored by the best in the game, Hall of Famers. This is one of the rare times in the history of the game where you have a team winning a championship and young guys watching that you think, I think personally, that these young guys are going to be winning championships themselves in the future. But right now, the team is focused on winning one this year. And I think that right now, this is a proper evolution for this team to go through.
You know, DiVincenzo has really impressed me. I didn't realize he had as much game as he has. And Portland is yet to see GP2 hit the floor. We're not going to see him tonight either. And I understand why Golden State did what they did, right? They didn't re-sign GP2, and they didn't re-sign Otto. And they saved, you know, $60 million in luxury taxes, and it was probably the smart move. But Monty Poole's got an article up right now at NBC Sports Bay Area about how the Warriors still miss GP2. Do you think that is indeed the case? And is Kuminga's like recent defensive effort, is that starting to make them miss GP2 a little less?
I think what you saw, what I want to first start off by saying, you say the Warriors saved $60 million luxury tax. You have to remember that the Warriors are also way above the luxury tax and what they're paying, because they paid their guys in Andrew Wiggins and Jordan Poole. So they're trying to keep that continuity. But in the game of basketball, after you win a championship, it's really hard to keep everybody, because that success, everybody else wants a little bit of that success. So the good thing on the Portland Trailblazers to pay GP2, because he was very deserving of his contract. He played amazing last season. His defensive effort was one of the reasons why we were able to win against Dallas, to win against Memphis, and to go ultimately to the championship and the effects he had there in the finals. So you know that he was big for this team. But I think what you saw in their decision-making is the Golden State Warriors also feeling like they have the tools here with these young guys as well. Jonathan Kuminga is showing you that. I personally think that Jonathan Kuminga can be a Defensive Player of the Year candidate in the future. For sure, a first-team all-defensive player. And you see Dante DiVincenzo and the defensive ability he brings to the team. You know, this team is very deep, and the Warriors always do such a great job of drafting dudes or bringing free agents in that people sometimes give up on. You have to think about Andrew Wiggins. He was not known as a defensive player when he came to this team, but just this will to win that is contagious. I think it starts with Steph Curry, and it starts with Steve Kerr and Bob Myers and even the ownership. And it trickles all the way down. And I think that when people join this organization, they're very intent on doing all the little things to win. And I think they believe in these young guys and their abilities as well.
Festus Ezeli joining us here on 95.7 The Game. I got to ask you about Draymond. I mean, a couple of big blocks the other night against Utah to help finish that one off in big moments. And I think, you know, him and Clay, but really I think it's Draymond here with Steph and with Wiggins out. He's led the grit brigade, really. Like, I think in all three of these games, it's been kind of nasty and you know, defensive minded, and yeah, they hit some shots against Memphis, but to win shorthanded, it really has in my mind started with Draymond putting his imprint on, you know what, if this team has to win nasty, we'll win nasty. And I feel like Clay's kind of done that as a secondary player, and everybody else has fallen in line off of that. Just what have you seen from Draymond here in really showing how important he can be to this team, even when Steph isn't there with them?
Draymond has shown that throughout his career. This goes all the way back to high school and then being the championship player at Michigan State in college. Draymond's a winner. You know, coming in with him as a rookie, we were both rookies together. We were drafted to this team together. And seeing the intensity he brought to practice every day, he makes everybody step their games up. And this was him as a rookie. And so now him as a veteran, this is a new journey for Draymond. And for every championship team, every season is different. So this team was really struggling with chemistry and the bench chemistry. One thing that you saw that Coach Kerr did is he put Draymond in with the second unit. And what that did, even though Draymond is not necessarily an offensive scoring player, he is still an offensive player in the way that he creates shots for his teammates. I was a big benefactor of that because of the way that he would throw me lobs, all the things, and then also on the defensive end, I think he's such a great communicator. He's so loud on the defensive end, and he's telling people where to be and talking things out, and it makes the game a little simpler for people. Last night, or a couple of nights ago against the Utah Jazz, Lauri Markkanen got off to a great start. Part of the reason was because Draymond was playing help defense and going off of him, and then coming back recovering to a shooter. He hit, three three-pointers in the first quarter? You know, they go off for this crazy run. So Coach Kerr makes the adjustment, takes Draymond off of him. Draymond's still helping and going back to him. But the adjustment is understanding that Draymond, the imprint that he puts on the game, there's so many different facets. All the way from the defensive end to the offensive end, you see him being more aggressive now, taking big three-pointers against teams. Like, he's just a winner. Like, there's no way to quantify what a winner is. I don't think that the stat sheet even tells you everything that he does. Even when he has triple-doubles, it still doesn't tell the full story of the imprint and the impact that he has on the game. And so Draymond was such a pleasure for me to work with and to play with. I understand that his defensive edge is also one of the things that gives this team its winning prowess. So this team very much depends on his energy every night.
We're talking to Festus Ezeli, the pride of Jesuit High School in Sacramento, where my brother sends his kids up to Jesuit.
Shout out Carmichael.
There you go. There you go.
High school, yes.
There you go.
First stop when I came to the United States.
I know. Too bad you couldn't play with them, man. That would have been incredible. You would have been lighting up Sacramento.
Yeah, as a Sacramento kid, Festus, my parents actually live about 5 minutes from Jesuit still to this day. So I know the area well, my man.
Well, you have to remember, when I came to the United States, I was 15 years old, and I wish I could have played for them, but that was my first time picking up a basketball. And at 16, when I tried out for the team, I got released because it was too late. They said it was too late for me to start trying to learn because it was like there was so much going on at the time. So I wish I got to play high school ball because I watch a lot of these kids right now and all the skills and all the friendships that they built through the years. I wish I got to play high school, but luckily for me, I had a crazy work ethic. I still was able to get to college, and I had a lot of great coaches and people around me that inspired me. But I still got some of those experiences. But high school basketball, I watch high school basketball now. It's a lot of fun.
Well, you know what? You probably got some great advice along the way because you went to Vandy and got yourself a terrific education, and now you're doing an incredible job on NBC Sports Bay Area. I got to ask you about James Wiseman. I thought he was great on Christmas against Memphis. He went for 30 against Brooklyn, against the Nets earlier. And I just wish he had been up the whole year, but you had a chance to play in Santa Cruz. What do you see differently? Because you're watching James as a guy who played that position. What do you see differently between the James Wiseman that, you know, pre-Santa Cruz this last run and what he's been since he returned?
I'm going to add a different James Wiseman to that. I'm going to add the James Wiseman that was drafted, because that guy, when he came in the court, like I was watching a game from 2021 and I saw a James Wiseman on the court he just was phenomenal. The way he was flying all over the court, the way that he was running, and just the confidence in his body. But unfortunately, gets injured, has a knee injury, and misses the whole rest of the season. Coming back on the court after all this time, I think there's two facets to this. One of them is you are a rookie trying to adjust to the game, so there's a few things that you have to learn. You have to learn to adjust to the speed of the game. You have to adjust to the defensive pace of the game. Everybody's faster, stronger. You got to think he only played a couple of games in college, so he pretty much was coming from high school. And so the pace of the game is way different. These are grown men now, and these are the best in the world. So he is adjusting to that, but also he's coming back from an injury. So he's learning to trust his body. I think that the process is hard for anybody. If you don't look at the process the right way, I think you could fall victim to it. But I love his approach. He's come in and said, you know what? I have to go down to the G League. It might feel like a demotion, which it sometimes to a lot of people it is. But for him, if you use the process correctly, like you look at Jordan Poole and the way he went to the G League and now got rewarded later because now he's playing amazing on the court, scoring and doing all the different things, but it's also he got rewarded contract-wise, then if you see that, then you're also inclined and you're inspired to follow the same track. So for him, what I've seen an improvement is his defensive awareness. He's able, a guy that can jump from the dotted line and dunk the ball, on the defensive end, you know that he can do the same thing. He can recover a lot of ground and jump straight up. He's an athletic, one of the most athletic people you can see in the NBA. I think for him is getting used to his body again. That's one, trusting your body after an injury. But it's also the defensive awareness on the court. On the offensive end, I think James Wiseman is a natural. He gets the ball. He's got such a great touch around the rim, great shot, and just amazing footwork. But I think, you know, just the ability to trust his body again and then having the awareness, watching Draymond, watching Kevon Looney, and learning how to screen to get these guys open. Because ultimately, when you get Steph and Klay open, you're getting yourself open. Because when you get them open, the defense has to react. And your man has to jump out there or else that's a three. So that, in turn, is you getting open and getting an easy shot. So I think I see him learning more and more about the game and him coming back. I just love his approach to the game. Such a good kid. And I can't wait to be able to spend some time with him and really just impact whatever knowledge I got from Steve Kerr and the older guys, you know, Andrew Bogut and all the guys alike.
Festus, thanks a lot for the time. We really appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon.
I appreciate you guys. Thank you for having me.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year. Festus Ezeli joining us here on 95.7 The Game. A little bit of breaking news there on the injury front. James Wiseman's actually going to miss tonight on that 4:30 injury report. He popped up on it tonight with a left ankle sprain, so he is out for the game tonight. More at about 5:15 from Steve Kerr when he meets with the media. Jamichael Green remains out, in addition to Steph, in addition to Iguodala and Wiggins. But yeah, Wiseman not going to be able to go in this one. The Warriors had sent
Patrick Baldwin Jr. and Ryan Rollins down to play in a G League game last night. They were recalled today, so both of them will be among the actives, at least available, PBJ and Rollins. But no Wiseman in this one, and then just DiVincenzo and Draymond Green, both probable. They've been playing through a little bit of soreness.
That's a huge advantage to have Santa Cruz so close, you know, being such close proximity, because otherwise, I mean, not every team's G League team is a drive away.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Some of these guys have to get on the bird and fly. That could have left them very shorthanded. Any indication of where Wiseman hurt the ankle, or, I mean, because this was not in the game, right? This was in a practice?
Yeah, it could have been, although they didn't practice yesterday. So, it could have been in the game and something that lingered and just wasn't thrown on there. It could have been something that maybe popped up in a different way. I think stay tuned at 5:15. I think we'll probably get an answer from Coach Kerr at that point when he meets with everybody. But, yeah, as far as PBJ, it's interesting. I mean, the story of the other night, I mean, he was in Santa Cruz, went through a practice in the morning and the afternoon at Santa Cruz with the G League squad, and then they said, hey, there's some questionable players, don't know what the situation's going to be, you're getting called back up. They brought a car for him and Rollins, and he said he had a couple peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and rolled up to Chase at about 6 o'clock.
PB&J had some PB&J?
He did, and he said it was also the first time, or I guess recently is the first time that he said he never ate them growing up as a kid. It was always...
Never?
Yeah, that was one of the little headlines from the post-game press conference.
That's not a good revelation. It's hard to trust anybody who's never had PB&J.
He said he had not had a PB&J up until the last couple of weeks. I guess they were doing some kind of Warriors Productions, like, video shoot thing about, you know, PB&J, eating PB&J, and he said, I never really had them before. So he had them, and he liked them enough to where now it sounds like maybe they're a more regular part of the afternoon snack quotient.
All right, so I'll go PB&J, but I gotta go light on the peanut butter. Light on the peanut butter.
Okay.
I mean, I can't you know, gop on lots of peanut butter, because then it's just, it becomes too peanut butter-y.
What's your go-to peanut butter and jam or jelly? Like, what's
kind of
your...
like a raspberry. Kind of okay. Like a raspberry jelly. You know, maybe a Smucker's raspberry with a light coating of peanut butter. But the other thing is you got to go peanut butter all throughout. You know, you got to really spread it around. You got to really spread it around.
I like a little thicker spread, I think, than you do. And then also I'll do a little toasted PB&J. Like,
do you like nuts in your
warm
PB&J? Do you go nutty or do you go smooth?
It really doesn't matter. I could go either way with it, but I like to warm the bread, like toasted bread, and then where the peanut butter will melt a little bit.
Oh, look,
you get
at you.
A little bit of warm. Yeah. That's how you roll. That's how I roll
now,
on.
Now, do you go healthy peanut butter, or do you go like Jiffy or something?
Yeah. Oh, I'll go completely unhealthy.
There you go.
I mean, I'll go both ways with it, but I go, yeah, it
if I
matter.
Get the wrong peanut butter at my house, my wife takes it back.
Oh, wow. Like, it's got to be the healthier end.
It's got to be like, you know, Laura Scudder's or, you know, some good peanut butter. If I get Jiffy, it's like, you got Jiffy?
She doesn't like take the look at the back of it and go, hey, you don't want this in your body ever.
What are you doing? You know, that's what I gotta, you know, just, you know, put the hands in the air and be like, hey, you know what? I'm sorry. You know,
Boysenberry. It's got to be. We get people on the Xfinity Mobile text line. Boysenberry for the win.
For some people say apricot.
Apricot's not bad. I would go strawberry.
Strawberry's not bad.
It's not bad. Raspberry's fine.
What do you think of grape?
I'm okay with it.
Like grape?
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
Grape's not bad.
I'm okay with grape.
A little different consistency. A little runnier. A little. You know.
Yeah, that just
gotta really spread that.
That
grape
goes well with the melted. You know, a little bit of the melted gooey peanut butter as well. Almond butter from the 707.
Okay. Almond butter.
That's fine.
I don't go peanut butter. I go almond butter.
That's fine.
All right.
And if you got an allergy, maybe you got an allergy.
See, to me, you got to have milk. Do you go milk or do you go water? I mean, you can't go with any kind of, you know, you got to have something to kind of wet your palate.
I'd go milk. Yeah.
Milk, yeah.
Yeah. I would go milk to just keep it, you know, you can keep everything from sticking.
There you go.
So yeah, he said
he had one
and had a couple of them
actually.
Liked it so much, went back for number two.
It was like, hey, we're bringing the car around. It was basically, we're bringing the car around and we're taking it to Chase because you might have to play tonight. So grab something to eat, and he had a couple PB&Js ready.
Well, you know, I really like Baldwin, and you know what? If this gives him a little bit more run, good. I would like to see him out there a little bit more. I really believe that he's kind of a young guy in name only. I think every rookie is not like every other rookie. Some rookies are more experienced than others. Heck, we're seeing that with Brock Purdy in the NFL right now. He's a lot more experienced than your typical rookie. And I think Baldwin, as the son of a coach, as a guy who was a five-star recruit, as a guy who was the star of his college team, he seems to be a little bit more advanced. So we'll see. I'd love to see him get some run.
Yeah, opportunity for him to potentially get some run tonight as the Warriors, they're going to look to go small. I think that there will be opportunities probably for wings to play. I would imagine the Warriors would take Looney off the floor and a little earlier, maybe. He'd start, take him off the floor a little earlier to where he could maybe play an extra shift to where you would have either him or Draymond out there at the center at all times, in the game tonight. Or you just go small, you play without him. I mean, could even see maybe a little Kuminga at center tonight, I think, in a pinch.
You know, in a lot of people's minds, the biggest concern about James Wiseman was not necessarily the development in his game, but his relative health. Or lack thereof, you know, because mostly due to the knee, right?
Right. This is the first time he's had that an injury this year, which is, you know, a few people were kind of, that's a little bit of a downer, but.
Yeah, but I mean, he does some things that Kevon Looney can't do. And other Warrior big men can't do. You know, he's got an ability to finish around the rim offensively. It's just a matter of the feel. You know what I mean? He hasn't played a lot, so his feel is not great. And then, especially on the defensive end, it's a difficult transition playing in the NBA and playing defense in the NBA. So, you know, I do think that Wiseman's going to get there. I hope, you know, somebody asked, are the Warriors still, you know, talking about trading Wiseman? I hope they're committed to the development of James Wiseman and keep that patience. Because when you look at his talent and you look at the potential of what he could be, JD, in like 2 years, 3 years, you're going to be absolutely kicking yourself if you moved him at this point, especially for the rumors that I've seen, you know, trade him to San Antonio for Jakob Poeltl.
Yeah,
would they be a little bit better this year with Jakob Poeltl? Yeah. Is Jakob Poeltl going to be more consistent rotation player? Yeah. But the upside that you would be giving in that trade, I just couldn't pull the trigger on that.
It's tough to give up somebody with high upside for a role player. Like, I think that's what ultimately would be hard for the Warriors to swallow. Quickly here before we get to Jim on the phones, Nutella, getting a
little chocolate.
Yeah, a little chocolate spread.
You know, I'm not a big Nutella fan myself.
Okay.
But do people go chocolate and peanut butter? Kind of like, almost like a Reese's.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Reese's on bread?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's killer with the toasted bread.
I know
kids
like Nutella. Are you a Nutella man yourself?
Not really. Didn't have it a lot growing up. I had it in college. There were a few people in college that that roommates.
Where'd you
and
go
stuff.
To your Sac State?
Sac State. Ah, but yeah,
there you go.
So a couple of my buddies always had.
We're both
Nutella.
Sac State guys.
We are.
That's right.
Yes, sir. Incredible.
It's amazing the education that we have gotten.
I don't know that we've had that connection. Big year for the Sac State football squad.
That's right. Troy Taylor coaching at Stanford.
Coaching at Stanford now. No, it's big. Blackberry jam and ice cold milk from the 510.
Ice cold milk.
Ice cold milk.
Now, my father used to put ice cubes in his milk.
Okay.
And now I always thought that was normal until, you know, I got to that age where I'm like, you know what? Ice cubes in milk are not normal.
Well, it makes the milk not.
Well, it depends if it's whole milk. If it's whole milk, you can make it a little bit, you know, like, you know. But if you already have non-fat milk and you throw some ice cubes in there, that's straight water.
That's not a great
too
beverage.
Watery.
Not a great beverage. Too watery. No question. 888-957-9570. Let's go ahead and we'll get to Jim. We'll get to Kay coming back on the other side here. We still got one more hour to go before Warriors Live here, putting a wrap on 2022 as we are presented by Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.